Well, this morning, as we open up God's Word together, I want to look at a very well-known passage of Scripture, and I've entitled my message today, Go and Do Likewise. Go and Do Likewise. So if you would take your Bibles and turn over to Luke 10, Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, Luke 10, 25 through 37, there you'll find the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And I pray, God, that you would speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, may your word go out and do its work in our hearts and our minds today. Oh, God, may it be fruitful in our lives. And Lord, may we be edified by your words to us, your words of life to us today, your words of challenge, God. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Amen. Well, when I was 18 years old, I worked in a junior forest ranger camp. My boss's name was Paul, and he had a big impact on my life over those brief 8 weeks that I worked and lived with him and 11 other young men from all over Alberta. Paul was the son of a British Army officer, and he ran our camp with the precision and the order that the British are famous for. For example, every morning at 5:30, yes, 5:30, we rolled out of our tents, we gathered around the flagpole, and we raised the maple leaf flag. And then we turned from there, and we went on a mandatory 5-kilometer run just to get us rolling for the day. Well, I remember one time Paul asked me to move a wood pile from one side of the camp to the other side of the camp. And I made the mistake of asking Paul, why? Why, Paul? Well, in almost Monty Python fashion, in his clipped British accent, he replied loudly, why? And then he exclaimed, done! If you and I were in the war and someone threw a hand grenade underneath your rear end and I said, move, Dan, and you stopped there and asked me, why, Paul, what do you think would happen? Reluctantly, I saw his point, and I moved the wood pile from here to there, and to this day, I still have no idea why it was necessary other than he wanted me to learn a life lesson. Well, how are you doing, SHBC? How are you doing, Still Heights, in the middle of this COVID-19 outbreak that we are battling through? Perhaps you are calling out to the Lord and asking, why, God? Why? Perhaps you're calling out to the Lord and you're saying, why have you allowed this to happen? Is this a hard life lesson that you're trying to teach the nations of planet Earth? Are you teaching us how to humble ourselves before you, God, so that we may learn this lesson of depending on you rather than ourselves? Perhaps. But at this point, only heaven knows. I think in the weeks and the months to come, there will be many life lessons that we can learn from God as we trust him in ways we have never had to before. But now is not the time to stand around and ask why. Now is the time to pray. Now is the time to trust and to reach out to others. Now is the time, like never before, to keep loving God and to keep loving others. When we activate this kind of love, it can redeem the most desperate of situations. This is our opportunity to love like the Good Samaritan and go and do likewise. While I was working in that camp that summer, my boss, Paul, lent me a book to read. And it was called The Miracle on River Kwai. The Miracle on River Kwai by Ernest Gordon. And this powerful true life story has always stuck with me. Unlike the highly dramatized 1957 Hollywood film Bridge Over River Kwai, this book is a factual account of Gordon's experiences as a Japanese POW in World War II. Author Philip Yancey also wrote about the events in this book, in his book, Rumors of Another World, which I'm indebted to for parts of my message today. Well, Ernest Gordon was a British Army officer who was captured at sea by the Japanese Navy when he was only 24 years old. And he was sent to work on the Burma-Siam railway line that the Japanese were constructing through the jungles of Thailand in order to have a route to possibly attack India. And each day, Gordon would join a work detail of thousands of prisoners who hacked their way through the jungle, and they would move dirt and they blasted rock and filled in swamps in order to build the railroad and the bridges. Naked, except for loincloths, these men worked in 120 degree Fahrenheit heat. They worked in bare feet. They cut their feet on sharp stones. They were stung by insects. Death was commonplace, and if a prisoner seemed to be lagging behind, the guards would beat him mercilessly in full view of the other prisoners. Many men just simply dropped dead from exhaustion, malnutrition, from disease. Under these severe conditions, which with such inadequate care for the prisoners and civilians, close to 100,000 people died building 415 kilometers of railroad, and it was aptly nicknamed the Death Railway. For most of the POWs, it was the law of the jungle in these work camps. Men were starving, they were disease-ridden, they were exhausted, the atmosphere of the camps was poisoned with selfishness, with hatred, with fear. It really had become survival of the fittest. I look out for myself and the hell with everyone else. In the food lines, prisoners fought over a few scraps of vegetables or grains of rice floating along in the greasy broth that was served up. Officers refused to share any of their special rations, and theft became common in the barracks. Men lived like animals, and the guards found it entertaining to stoke the fires of selfishness and hatred amongst the POWs. They had no church, they had no chaplain, they had no services. As Gordon stated in his book, we were forsaken men, forsaken by our comrades, forgotten about by our government. And now even God seemed to have left us. But God had not forgotten them. and something inconceivable was about to happen. That something was what Gordon called the miracle on River Kwai. Stories began to circulate around the camps. Stories of self-sacrifice, of heroism, of faith and love. But at the root of each story was this common theme, a self-sacrificing friendship. Prisoners started treating the dying with respect, organizing proper funerals and burials, marking each man's grave with a cross. With no prompting, prisoners began looking out for each other rather than just themselves. There was this new spirit of loving your neighbor, which continued to spread through the camp. And Gordon commented, "We were seeing for ourselves the sharp contrast between the forces that made life and those that made death: selfishness, envy, hatred, greed, self-indulgence, laziness, pride. These were the things of anti-life. But then on the other side, there was love and there was heroism and there was self-sacrifice. There was sympathy and mercy and integrity and creative faith. And these were the things that brought the essence of life, death and life. These were the things that the men dealt with every day. But as this growing movement of God's Spirit swept through these camps, God started to give the gifts that he alone can give to men, gifts of life. True, there was hatred, but there was also love. True, there was death, but there was also life. God had not left us, said Gordon. He was with us. Yet for Gordon himself, he was a sick man. And he was gradually wasting away from a combination of beriberi, which is a horrible disease that swells up parts of your bodies. There was malaria. There was dysentery. He was struggling with typhoid. And because he could no longer work on the railroad, he was transferred to this rundown tent called the Death House. Low-lying in the water where the bugs and insects were. He thought he would die, but despite his feelings of hopelessness, he hung on to what he felt was a greater purpose to fulfill. And help came just in time as his friends transferred him out of the death house and into this newly built infirmary where it was dry and clean. But the real turning point in Gordon's recovery came one day when he was assigned a nurse to take care of him. Lying alone there in silence, Gordon was approached by a young man named Dusty Miller. "Good evening, sir. I've heard you needed a hand, and I wondered if you cared to let me help you." "I studied him for a moment," said Gordon, and then replied, "Are you quite sure you want to help me?" I asked the question, not knowing what to expect. His offer had surprised me, for it was so different from the attitude we had come to expect as normal. "Of course I want to help you," he replied with such warmth that there was no doubting his sincerity. Dusty was one of two fellow Scots who volunteered to come each day and care for Gordon. He faithfully dressed the ulcers on his legs and he massaged his atrophy muscles. They brought him food and they cleaned his shack. And after weeks of such tender care, Gordon slowly recovered. Still battling with mental despair, Gordon questioned Dusty one day about living in this horrifying situation in this camp. And Dusty firmly replied that God knows us. He knows about the sparrow. He knows every hair on our head. He has a purpose for us, even if we are unaware of the details right now. And Gordon recovered, and he experienced this renaissance in his own faith, which he had previously just dismissed as childhood Sunday school stuff. He had thought little about God for years, but as he would later put it, faith thrives where there is no hope but God. Faith thrives where there is no hope but God. So after being approached by some of the men to conduct a Bible study, Gordon started leading a Bible study in the camp. He knew that the men were hungry and they wanted to learn about Jesus. And through their readings together and discussions, they all gradually turned to God. Gordon became the unofficial camp chaplain. The prisoners built a tiny church, and each evening they gathered to say prayers for those with the greatest needs. They had an informal, the informal Bible discussion group proved to be so popular that they started a jungle university. And whoever had certain expertise in a field would teach a course. And the students would come. And they started offering courses in history and philosophy and economics and mathematics and natural science and even foreign languages. Professors wrote their own textbooks on whatever scraps of paper they could find. Artists who were talented brought salvaged bits of charcoal from the cooking fires. They ground rocks to make paints, and they began to produce enough artwork to mount an exhibition. Two botanists oversaw a secret garden that was hidden from the guards, specializing in much medicinal plants for the prisoners. And a few smuggled stringed instruments combined with carved woodwinds out of bamboo resulted in an orchestra being formed. One man, Gordon recorded, said, had a photographic memory, and he could write out complete scores of music, and soon the camp was staging concerts and theater performances. Gordon experienced the change in his comrades, even to the point where they were helping injured guards. On being rebuked by one ally officer for showing charity to a wounded guard, Gordon reminded him of the Good Samaritan, and he reminded him also of Jesus' command to love our enemies. Even when liberation finally came to that camp in September of 1945, the prisoners treated the sadistic guards with kindness and not revenge. The liberators were so infuriated by what they saw, they wanted to shoot the Japanese soldier or guards on the spot. Only the intervention of the victims prevented them. Captors were spared by their captives. Let mercy take place of bloodshed, said these exhausted but forgiving men, not eye for an eye. And after the liberation, in contrast to all Gordon's previous plans, he became a minister in Scotland and then eventually moved to the United States, where he served as the dean of the chapel of Princeton University till his death in early 2002. The 2001 movie To End All Fear, starring Kiefer Sutherland, is based on his life. Ernest Gordon was a man who proclaimed and lived out the gospel of Jesus Christ amidst incredible hardship, but it resulted in his own life and the life of many others being changed forever. Well, we are certainly not suffering through such extreme circumstances with the COVID-19 outbreak here in Edmonton, but there are people dying in our province, and there are people dying in our nation and around the world because of this sickness. And other people are sick. And many of us have been hit extremely hard by the loss of our jobs and our retirement savings that we spent years accumulating. Students are struggling through educational setbacks, and there's others who have had to abandon their dream holidays and travel plans. Many of us are concerned about our own health and the welfare of our loved ones. And to make matters worse, we're restricted in our personal interaction with each other and when we long to be with each other and see each other in person, to see the smiles and the warm greetings on a Sunday morning here at Still Heights. Yet despite all these challenges, there's an opportunity to be good Samaritans in our physical and online neighborhoods and reach out to one another with the love and the gospel of Christ. Folks, I just see as we love one another, as we reach out to one another, as we do the things that Pastor Bonnie was sharing about in church life, as we continue to have a presence in our community, I believe that God can use our efforts online and in person to bring his kingdom and his light into a dark situation. We need to continue to seek God's direction for our church as we have opportunity. Just recently, the government of Alberta asked us if we would open up our early learning center to provide care for children for frontline health and emergency workers. So please pray for us as we consider God's direction in this request and pray for the workers who would really have to put themselves in harm's way to help support those who are trying to bring health and healing to our community. As a church family, we're discovering new ways. I know I certainly am, on how to use digital technology and to connect with each other and disciple one another in our life groups online. We're just putting the finishing touches on our SHBC new website, and it should be out shortly, and it's more mobile friendly, so you can access it with your cell phone. And I'm hoping to show more and more video testimonies like the one that we just saw earlier in the service with Edgar and myself. I'd love to hear more about how you're doing in your homes and how you're doing on your journey through this COVID-19 outbreak. We can share with one another how God is working. So if you're interested in doing that, please contact the office and we'll work out a way for you to record your video so that we can share it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Please remember to check our website and for pastor and elder devotions for my Thursday morning update video on our website. And of course, our Sunday worship video, and along with the Power Up video, which was put together for this first time for this Sunday. And it just looked like they're having a lot of fun. And just a ministry to our Power Up kids and our families. And also, as Pastor Ben puts together some things on Instagram, some teaching videos, I think he's calling it Ben's Bible Bits. Ben's Bible Bits. The care team is getting on the phones and we're calling out to our seniors, our singles, our shut-ins. And if you're feeling overwhelmed or discouraged, please, please pick up the phone or send an email and contact one of the pastors, your life group leader, or just call the church office and we'll get some help out to you. Just make that phone call. There's no shame in asking for help. We're all in this together, and together we can get through it. Church, we need each other. We need each other like probably never before. And when the Holy Spirit brings someone to your mind, when he prompts you, then take the initiative and contact your brother or sister in Christ and just ask them how they're doing. You don't have to have all the answers for them. You just say, how are you doing? Is there anything I could pray for you? Just to hear your voice would be an encouragement and a blessing. These are just a few of the ways that we can go and do likewise and love God and love one another, and to reach out to our neighbors. Still Heights, let's keep praying. Let's keep serving. Let's keep giving. Let's keep connecting with one another. And like the Good Samaritans, let's go and do likewise. May the Lord bless you. Call the worship team. Come up at this time for a response song.
Consecrated, Lord, to
Fitting closing song for our service today. Thank you so much to Heights for joining us online to worship together. And may I leave you with these words from Psalm 34. We began the service with Psalm 34, and I'd like to conclude. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. May the Lord be your deliverer this week. Be a blessing and go and do likewise.